This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 16, 17, and 18 of New Spring, The Deeps, An Arrival, and A Narrow Passage. Enjoy! Welcome, everyone, to season 9 3/4, episode 6 of The Wheel Reads. How's everyone doing tonight? We're finally here. Well,
two-thirds
of us are here. 0.666666666666. Or 0.75, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, 0.66.
Yeah. Chris anyway. Is wrangling some cats, probably.
Probably chasing cats around. While we wait for Chris, in honorary of the first chapter we're covering tonight, I'm drinking a little something, something.
A little something, something.
A little something, something.
Hold my beer. Watch this.
A little something, something. It's really good beer.
Yeah.
Anyways, announcements. Next week you have guests. So join us next Monday as we record live with guests. That should be fun. They're returning guests. I'm not going to tell Ian and Chris who, but they have been on our podcast before. And it should be fun because they're fun chapters next week. So I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. Other announcements.
I feel like it's bound to be the collision of Moraine and Lan.
Okay. Interesting.
Bound to be.
Interesting. Predictions. Throwing predictions out there just all willy-nilly already. Okay.
That's fun. That's what I do.
Sounds good. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it for announcements. We just have guests. I need to catch up on actually putting out episodes, both for here and the Cosmere Reads, because I've just been playing way too many video games, which has been fun, but I need to stop and actually edit and do my podcast duties. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going through season in life right now. We've had sickness run through the household, and work's been crazy. So I get home from work, and I'm like, I just want to put the kids to bed and watch TV.
Veg out. Yeah.
Veg.
I feel you on that.
And it's just the season I'm in right now. I go through these like waves, and it's been 4 years of nonstop editing. And so give me some time. I'll get back on it.
Within the last month, I kind of picked up I've been playing Fortnite more, but now I got like a group of friends that we get on and we play. So it's like an hour to 2 hours just about every night. And it's at first we started very competitive, like, but now we just play and shoot the shit about life. So
I'll get there every time.
It's like getting together with people without having to spend money at the bar.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So I feel you.
That's fun.
Sorry, guys.
No, it's good. So I just have like a bunch of milestones to look forward to. We have JordanCon coming up in April. In April, Sea of Thieves, the game I play all the time, comes out for PlayStation, at least PS5 so far, which means all new players to dunk on. They have no idea what they're doing. It's going to be so much fun.
Free booty.
Free booty.
I love free booty.
Free booty's good. But yeah, personal life.
All the times I've been to JordanCon, nobody's offered me free booty.
You went with your wife. I think that's the problem.
It's okay.
Wait, that should count as free booty. I mean, I know it's not Well, anyway.
Weren't you married?
Yeah, let me stop. I figured no matter how I continue with that, I was going to get in trouble somewhere with someone. So
someone actually asked, has I ever come across Summit 1G while playing Sea of Thieves? The answer is yes. So fun little side note. This was years ago in the early days of Sea of Thieves when they used to have arena mode. Will, who's on the Cosmere Reads, and I have been playing this game for 6 years, and we used to play arena a lot, and we actually did get paired up against Pace 22 and Summit. We did actually score on them a bunch of times and kill them a bunch of times, but at the end they kicked our ass. But we did all right. We held our own. But they are amazing at the game.
Nice.
But yeah, that was probably like 4 years ago. But I ran into him. I've not run into him recently. No. So
cool.
Anyway, famous streamer that made Sea of Thieves famous. Funny you ask. Yes. Probably like 4 years ago, something like that. It was a long time ago. I'm not sure if Summit was streaming or if it was just on
Pace. For a rematch.
Yeah, time for a rematch. Yeah. They don't do arena anymore. It was too toxic, and there's a bunch of problems there with it. So arena got taken away.
Oh,
so yeah, you can only handle getting cursed out by 7 and 8 year olds, like, but so much, and then it's just
so the problem was, like, the arena was you had to have 4 people in your crew in order to play it, and a lot of people play like just either solo or by themselves, so the lobbies would take forever to matchmake, and it just ended up dying. It just was not a good rollout, so
yeah, sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah, it is what it is. Sea of Thieves never was about arena. It's always about the high seas. Anyway, so personal life. My youngest turned 2, so we had a birthday party. Yeah, it was lots of fun. So we had the little 2-year-old birthday party. And then what did we do this weekend? I can't even remember. I was off on Monday because of President's Day. Mm-hmm. But I had to go do a bunch of meetings that weren't work related, but kind of work related. So, yeah, it was kind of like I still worked. It was fun. And then my wife got sick, and she has like a horrible cough / sickness. I don't think it's
that's how mine started.
COVID. But yeah, I don't think it's COVID. She doesn't have a fever, but we'll see.
Horrible. I never got a fever either.
Okay, maybe she has the vid. I don't know.
I'm just messing. Well, not messing, but I am messing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm fine. I was sick like 3 weeks ago, and that was RSV. So,
yeah.
Fun times. How about you guys? What's going on?
Well, I debated sharing this or not, but I don't really believe in jinxes or anything. So I put it out there. Remember a couple weeks ago, I mentioned a pending conversation or phone call, and then I didn't say much more. Anywho. So it ended up, we made it a face-to-face and had kind of one of those, what do we call them in the adult world? They're not defining the relationship anymore, but
not TTRs.
I guess just, yeah, an adult TTR. I don't know. That's essentially what it is. It's a DTR. Yeah,
it's a TTR. Define the relationship.
But anyways, it went really well. And so things with Meredith are going very good, very positive direction. And I'll just leave it at that for now. But yeah, we've been spending a lot of time together, and I shared that with you guys behind scenes a lot, but didn't talk about it much on here because, you know, with everything that happened, she wasn't certain what to call us. So I didn't know what to say publicly or whatever, but anyways, it's good. It's very good.
Awesome.
Doesn't automatically fix everything else in life, but I'll tell you what, it absolutely makes everything else that much easier to bear. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Cool.
That's good.
But Chris liked that so much, he just there he is.
He had to pick his nose.
I didn't want the world to see me blowing my nasty junk.
Yeah. So. Chunks. Blowing chunks.
All 4 people watching.
Yeah. There's 6. Anyway, it's Wednesday night. We're competing with like Dusty Wheel and a bunch of other things too. So
we're not competing at all because we suck, but it's okay.
Nah, I'm not competing with anybody. It's just us. So, Chris, what's up with you?
I slept all last week because I had COVID, and it absolutely sucked and zapped almost all of my sick time.
Well, sleeping's great.
It was, except for like there's no more like COVID protocol.
No more free leave. Yeah.
No more free leave.
Good point.
And then today they started putting out COVID signs in my branch.
That's funny.
I'm like, is that because of me or because you guys realize it's like picking up like hardcore right now?
Yeah.
It's definitely going around.
Oh,
it's
going around. Going around is an understatement around here. It is like wildfire right now.
It's like Walking Dead down Charlotte.
Yeah. So stay away. Like I am trying my hardest to preserve one day of leave so I can actually come to JordanCon, because if I can't manage to squeak that out, like my boss is fighting me on everything. Like literally I told him I have an appointment with a urologist and and looking forward to having a colonoscopy soon.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and he's like, can you make sure you schedule that around this time? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
If you get a colonoscopy, hold on. I'm going to share my screen in a second. Hold on. Let me get the shirt. Let me buy the shirt for you.
And, it's coming in the next 2 months.
Okay. Then we have to get fast on the shirt.
Thank you, Chanel.
So share screen. Here we go. So this is the shirt we're gonna buy you. You have to wear it to your colonoscopy.
To the appointment.
If it makes it here, give me a 3XLT. If it makes it here before, I will live stream myself walking in the door to the
clinic. Get in, loser. We're doing butt stuff.
What's worse is I have a male doctor who I've yet to meet. Like, I spoke to him virtually and we're talking about doing a colonoscopy, and I'm like, I didn't even get dinner first.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't really spend much time with the doctor that you remember. It's the nurses that you'll interact with. They'll come in and the anesthesiologist comes in and they like tell you what's about to happen, and then they walk out, so you see them for like 5 seconds a piece. It's the nurses that hold your hand and then smack you to wake you up.
Yeah, give it the juice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Delightful.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun.
I'm sorry for your leave woes. So I've been sticking it out with the government long enough that I now earn 8 hours every pay period, plus sick leave. So like today, my back wasn't feeling great. So I just messaged them and I was like, I'm not coming in. I'll telework for a little while. And then I teleworked for a little while and I was like, nah, fuck this. So I only worked 2 hours today and I just said, no, I'm just not.
If I don't feel well, I just work from home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I do answer emails and answer phone calls. But
that is working.
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still dabble in it. So
I need that type of job.
You get there. Well, I don't know if you want to go through the bullshit I went through to get here, but stick it out long enough. There's a gold watch waiting for you.
Fly through a mile and a half of shit. Game clean on the other side.
Yep.
Otherwise, like, you see, Chanel brought me a smoothie because like we've been really good the last few weeks, being on top of our diet, and we're cracking down that much more. And when I tell you, eating healthy sucks sometimes because like I'm still hungry. I've had like calorically speaking 2,800 calories. I'm still hungry.
Yeah. Because I just do intermittent fasting if I want to lose some weight, if I want to.
That's too much for me. If I don't average. Oh, wow. If I don't average like under 1800, 1750, even while I'm working out, like I won't lose weight. That's why during the winter months, I don't try to lose weight. I just try to keep myself in the gym and throwing the muscle on. Yeah. Because it's easier for me to cut weight when I could sweat a lot. And I do more cardio outside than inside. So I just save that for the
same. Well, not the cardio part, but the losing weight when it's hot. But I mean, like I weigh, well, I'm down to 417, but I did do the metabolic test just to determine what my rest caloric intake should be. So literally sat with a machine over my nose, and it's 3,800 calories.
Yeah. Well, so you just got to avoid the cheat days or the cheat meal. That's what kills me. For me to stay like under 2,500 easy, under 2 with a little effort, no problem. But like tonight, I was good all day, did the gym, did my post-workout snacks, drinks, everything. And then right before this, I was like, fuck it, I need something sweet. So I had a giant bowl of cereal. Well, that just, I just threw that on there and it does no good.
to have a protein shake.
With health tips burn. With the wheel reads.
Yeah. So you guys know we give it all to you.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. We are not avoiding these chapters because
these are phenomenal. Great, chapters.
But one is particularly fantastic.
So here's what kills me, or like has like really got my mind going. The fat. Thank you. Yes, the beards are looking good, aren't you. They? So we've missed you so much. You need to tell us when we need to be on.
Yeah.
If we're not having guests this week, then how good are the next set of chapters?
Gotta be, right? Alan either mentioned that, or we're getting that dope. I got excited. Yeah. I think it's going to be the, I told Alan, I think it's, we finally get the collision of Moraine and Lan. I think it's the first. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to go horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they're going to go their separate ways. I think they're going to fight it so much, but eventually they realize like they're meant to be together.
Yeah. We belong together.
Yeah.
Who else am I going to need?
So you ready to do chapter 16? Sure. Rolling in the deeps. The sun comes up. In the deeps. Yeah.
It's really about two paragraphs we got to cover here. I don't know how.
There's a couple of good quotes. There's a couple.
Get us there as quick as you can.
We got a lot that we got to talk about here.
There is some sage wisdom advice being handed out.
So they get to the city here in Canloom, whatever you pronounce it, in Kandor. After trying several inns with no success, Lan and Bakuma finally reach an inn named the Blue Rose. The innkeeper is described as a handsome, graying woman. Who
comes up and grabs Bakuma by the ears and goes,
and then smacks him.
No, punches. This was a closed fist.
Yeah, closed
fist. It gets smacked, got punched.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part of the all.
6 years, no words.
How can you get away?
He didn't even try to defend himself, so he knew he'd done it. Yeah.
No, she threw him off with the kiss. He was like, I wasn't expecting the blah. Like, that was the scene.
So walking in there, he had to know. She disarmed him. Yes.
No. But when it happened, she owned it.
No. Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
He had no idea. So he walked in there just expecting, you know, yet another inn. See whether or not there's some place to stay. Looks up and is like, "Oh, that's a familiar face. Oh, she's the owner. Oh, she kissed me. Mm-hmm. Oh, what day is it?"
Yeah. He got on.
Yep.
And then Lan gets a little tap on the shoulder, like, "Hey, friend. Hey,
yep." So Lan goes to sit down. The serving maid Lyra comes by and goes just very forth Lan, like, "So later tonight, you, me, we're doing this.
You're not sleeping tonight. No rest for the week.
No rest for you."
I hate when that.
I
happens.
Better not sleep either.
Yeah. Now she knew Lan, right?
No,
she didn't. Okay.
Nope. She thought he was a shy guy.
She wanted to know Lan.
Oh, she didn't.
Mm-hmm. Biblically, she wanted to know him.
Yes. She thought he was a shy guy because he plays.
Oh, yeah. Boy. And he makes the comment saying, like, "Oh, she thinks I'm shy now. Wait until I'm in the sheets."
Uh-huh. If only Rand were here, he knows how to talk to the women.
which makes me wonder how Nynaeve could sit after a night with Lan.
So this new guy shows up, Reen as well, old friend of Lan's, and you know, he shows up, Ren, and they talk about a few things, mostly about women. A woman named Eden, who was Lan's first lover. That's who they talked about. Eden, Lan's first lover, who stole Lan's V card, you know, the one and only. But apparently she's raised the golden crane in Lan's name.
Because she can do that because they're betrothed, essentially.
But also, she did it when she thought Lan was dead.
Dead?
Yeah.
Oops, he's still alive.
Yeah. But there are several hundred men that are ready to follow Lan as the Malkyr Nation to raise the Golden Crane and reform the nation of Malkyr. And Lan's like, no.
Yeah, with the blights taken, nobody gets it back.
I think this is where
to fight alone.
He says he was given four things as his birthright. I think this is the same scene.
The sword.
Oh, it was the ring, the locket, the sword, and the oath.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the later
the revenge oath.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
his friend was also jealous because I think he wanted to have fun with the same girl, and Lamb managed to get her too. He was like, maybe I need to pretend to be shy and coy.
Yeah. And I can't, because Ian has my actual physical copy of the book and I don't have it memorized, even though I should. I was trying to find the actual quote, the actual oath of Malkier. It's like defend the shadow to the last breath. I can't remember all the different words, but
yeah, it's
the revenge oath.
Yeah, the revenge oath. Okay, there you go. actually, I do have another copy that needs to bring up there, but yeah, anyway.
We don't touch that copy.
We stand against the shadow so long as iron is hard and stone abides, to defend the Malkier while one drop of blood remains, to avenge what cannot be defended.
Yep.
Ancient oath of the Malkier kings.
Yeah, it's like really poetic prose here too. Just like the way that he goes about it, like, you know, the how light the sword was on his hip, how heavy the oath was, I think it was. He's made some kind of comment like that. Like, the weapon so light compared to the oath that he was laid on him. Really, really poetic prose. I like when Robert Jordan flexes like this into his writing, especially when he gets into like the lore and stuff like that.
He can get repetitive with it though, because I don't have the book in front of me, but jumping ahead a little bit. Oh gosh, somebody was giving him some advice and there was a comparison of like, you know, to give your life as the feather, but like the responsibility, blah, 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 is the mountain, something like that.
Death is lighter than a feather. Duty's heavier than a mountain.
Yes. Yeah. Something to that effect. Yeah. But so he will recycle some of these cliches a little bit.
I think it's a Confucius actually quote. Confucius says.
Confucius didn't say that.
What'd you say? Kidding.
I said Confucius didn't say that, but I've been watching The Warrior on Netflix. If anybody's been watching that, I think it was originally a Cinemax show.
Yeah. But
it doesn't really spoil anything. You'll giggle when you see it. It gets said a couple of times by one of the characters that Confucius never said that.
Okay. Yeah. Confucius never said that. Death is lighter than a feather. Duty is heavier than a mountain is the quote Robert Jordan says, but it came from,
stiff as a feather, light as a board.
I have it right here.
Stiff as a board, light as a feather.
Supposedly was part of the military code of ethics and the imperial rescript of soldiers and sailors for Japan dating back to 1882. So it's Japanese. He was Asian.
Oh, pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's Japanese imperial code.
It's an old code, sir, but it checks out.
So eventually Lan goes down to his meditation, does his kodai. It's one with the Jedi powers, and calms himself down from all the gaiety and talk about promiscuous women he's been with in the past and things that might happen that night. But as he's trying to calm himself down, Bakuma shows up. He's like, hey, guess what? I'm getting late tonight. And so are you. Nudge, nudge, nudge. This place is awesome.
What a good friend.
No, what he first started with was, I'll be sleeping. You'll be sleeping on a cot. But I hear you won't be sleeping at all. I'll be in a bed.
Yeah.
What a great place.
Uh-huh.
All right, Alan, now I'm starting to see why you were excited about the early part of this chapter. I'm just ready to get to the end.
Yeah. Well, we're here. Yeah, we're here. So they decide to leave the stable. And they walk out, and Lan sees six men walking across the courtyard. And knows
why Bakuma has decided he can't fight.
Because it's part of the code. When you enter into the city, he gave up his sword and promised not to cause any fights. Like, it was part of his honor.
Oh,
he gave an oath to the guards that he would.
That's right. In my mind, this was like something that happened beforehand.
When he entered through the gates, he gave an oath, a peace oath, pretty much. And although Lan didn't give it, but his swordsman did. And to Bakuma, his honor is higher than any. Like, if he took an oath, he's not going to.
Yeah.
He won't fight.
Yeah. Well, and Lan respects it too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and for other reasons, he dismisses his peoples. But
Lan,
I'm responsible for you anyway. So you go on in there, close that door.
If I remember correctly, I think it was a few chapters ago. When they entered the gate, Bakuma got really mad about that one soldier acting Makiri. I was like trying to fight him and then agreed that he'll take an oath not to cause any trouble while he's in the city at all. Like, he'll not fight at all.
Right.
And I breezed over that. I did remember hearing that. Well, but
once Bakuma takes an oath, nah, he's good.
That's it. It's locked.
Yep. Whoa. So, anyways, six men coming at him. And Lan knows right away.
Six men, one Lan.
It's Rand about says, to Lan, go Lan says, down.
Hold my beer. Watch this.
Yeah, hold my beer. Watch this. Well, he barks and orders, like, get back in the stables right now. And he surprises himself by, like, he's never actually given an order like that to his elder. I mean, although he has every right to, as the heir, our king of Makir.
Daishan.
Yeah.
Daishan. Well, he's never actually done it.
And let's talk about this a little more, like a rites of passage moment for Lan. We talked about in this chapter leading up to this how the sword was given to him, and we know it's a Heronmark blade. And inheriting that from your dad is like, it's still cool, but like, mm-hmm. are you?
Yeah.
Do you deserve it? Have you earned it? And I'm sure the weight of everything else that's around Lan and what's expected of him, and he doesn't even know what to do with it. Like, the question around that sword is one more thing. He probably holds it dearly because it's his father's, but
I have a Sonic Mark Blade.
A Sonic Son. Mark Blade.
How cute. My son put a Sonic sticker on the pirate sword.
Nice.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Lan's just like, dude, get back. Yeah, but what's your point?
Right. And not that he was like, aha, an opportunity to prove myself. It also kind of caught him off guard, like you were saying, of just ordering this guy, hey, back in. It's kind of like this role that he's supposed to be taking on to protecting the other Malkyrie. It just kicked in, you know? He's rising to the moment.
And he's seen assassins before. He knows what's up. He knows what's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately. Like, they don't have to draw swords. He knows what's going on.
So he looks at him. He puts up one finger. He ties a blind around his eye.
Does the, his eyes. The crane kick.
Pulls out his sword, stretches a little bit, and says, "Ah!"
And then Heron waited in the reach, or whatever, kissing the adder. Yeah. All the dewdrops on the lilies. Whatever.
All the sword forms.
Just starts moving through them. I think the first guy he takes off his hand in his first sweep. Yep. Takes out the guy's hand. The next sweep, like, takes out another guy's eye and half his face. Like, opens the belly of another guy and just is, like, moving through. Does take a couple of wounds himself and starts thinking to himself, you know, like, well, that's to be expected.
He walked into this thinking this is the last battle for me.
Yeah.
His mind eventually got there because he started rationalizing, you know, you don't fight six men without getting injured. And then there's a moment he was like, you don't really fight six men and survive.
And people don't realize this either, though, is like, you know, him getting cut and that kind of stuff. Obviously, he's wounded during this fight. But when the adrenaline's pumping that hard, you don't feel those things. Like, I mean, I've never been to war. I can't speak on it. I've seen actual, not movies, but real war footage, like where people have filmed real war. And people will get hit.
You keep moving.
People get hit and they'll yell out, "I'm hit." And they'll quickly put a tourniquet on and keep going.
I've seen some crazy shit.
And so
I've talked before, going back to the other books, where some of our young heroes, when they get into fights, and then Jordan would write about the stuff going through their mind, and I would almost be yelling at them like, "You don't got time to be thinking about that shit. You need to be focused on the task at hand." Mm-hmm. So this will sound like I'm taking a different position, but not really, because the circumstances are different. Lan is so well trained. He has practiced his form so much that he goes through them and knows when to apply which one without even thinking about it. So it's to that, it's kind of in the U.S. military, militaries around the world. That's why we train and like repetitively go through steps over and over and over again. So in the moment when your brain tries to think about either too much or not enough, or you just zone out, whatever, your body just knows how to react.
Yeah.
So it's like his fighting is like a subroutine. Mm-hmm. It's happening in the background.
Right.
Because his primary voice is having this conversation in his head along the way. We were just talking about the kind of doing the math and, I'm not going to get out of this without getting hurt. Actually, I might not live through this. But as he's doubting himself, everything he trained himself to do is just
yeah,
you know, flying through it. So very, very impressive. Credit to his training.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Credit to Bukama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He's been taught well. He's been raised well.
Exactly. Yeah. He takes a nick to the eye, cut in the arm. And like I said, Lance says, you know, in this, only in the stories do six men not get hurt, or a person get hurt taking on six men. And then he thinks only the stories do a man live taking on six men.
Right.
Like that doesn't happen.
Wait a minute. This is crazy.
Yeah. But he keeps on fighting anyway, because he has a duty to Bukama, to his people. And, you know, he might as well, you know, if he's going to die, he's going to go out fighting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you quit or give up, you're definitely going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For but sure. If you give your all to the end, you might not.
Know. You might be like, man. You might.
So he continues to suffer more injuries, but keeps on fighting until eventually he makes his last blow and turns around, and he's the only one still standing alive.
And he's got a crowd at this point. People are watching at this point. I'm like, really?
I feel like there had to be a slow clap. Like somebody just.
Bukama just kind of slides out the barn like, damn.
Yeah. Six. Wow. Nice.
I did a good job. You know, you always get that one coach. I trained you well.
Yep.
That was Bukama.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they run over. Both Lear and Bukama run over to check Lan's injuries and send for, I guess, some other woman for the healing.
Yeah, I mean, they hear noises. They come to be nosy, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, my God, how did you manage to do all this? It's like, we will all follow you. You are the golden crane. You are the master.
Yeah. And you also learn from Reen or whatever, or Ren, that two of the detectors had been people that were with his first lover who had raised the golden crane. So there might've been some.
Well, yeah. Lan puts it together right away. Like, mm-hmm. are you implying that she has something to do with this? And he's like, well, you didn't exactly leave her on good terms, but yeah. I'll come with you.
No fury. Yeah.
I'll come with you. Like, bro, like I'm here. I got your back. Like I'm here for the drama. Spill the tea.
Yeah, I mean, she's raised the golden crane in Lan's name, but with Lan dead, she could be queen of Malkyr. Mm-hmm. Lan gets angry at Reen for saying this, but at the same time, I think he realizes that
it makes
sense. That's probably right.
I only speak the truth. I only speak the truth.
Yep. So they decide that I guess they're going to leave now.
Yeah.
And that's how we end this chapter. So really awesome fight scene. And, you know, six guys are the ultimate C block. You know, they're about to get laid. And now I think they have to leave now. It's
oh, yeah. That is true. Unless they take them with them.
Yeah, that too.
Do we know all of her connections to Lan at this point?
No.
I mean, we know they were connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was his first connection.
And that they're betrothed.
Yeah, knew all that.
But you can tell us the rest.
Yeah, what else you got? What else do we need to know here?
Hmm? Yeah, nothing else.
Okay.
Yeah. It's also his sister.
She's the sister. She was. Not really. I mean, it's not betrothed. They give a different term. Like the person that you...
Yeah.
Like, well, probably the way Lan looks at honor.
And, like they have a claim to you because you're... They're first, like something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Lan was probably like, slept with you, so I guess
that means because in the Borderland tradition, like the women, like even they mentioned that, like it's the women's choice on, you know, something like it's definitely a matriarchal when it comes to, I guess, relationships.
Yeah,
no relationships. I think it's the woman who makes the almost like an Aiel type culture, where the woman lays the wreath down.
Where do we think Martin got this idea from?
George R. R. Martin.
I have no idea.
I don't know which George R. R. Martin idea you're talking about. So, a little more specific. I mean, I've read Song of Ice and Fire up to where that is, but I'm not sure which one you're talking about. I mean, sleeping with your sister.
Lan by custom cannot turn down that woman who came on to him. Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Yeah. By custom. Yeah. So, like Lyra. Yeah. Anyway. They were derobed together.
Yeah. I hope you spanked that monkey.
Anyway, any other thoughts from this? I mean, fun little fight scene.
It's big news for this town. Everybody got all excited after that. I mean, even the owner of the establishment there came out barking orders to some of her tenants, who's way out of character of her. Yeah. And even the tenants were just like so caught up in the moment, they listened to her.
Sure.
She's like, you go get this. You go do that. You three hide the bodies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this isn't like common.
If the guards were doing their job, then we wouldn't have to be going through all this to begin with.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Go get him.
So you guys ready for the next chapter?
Let's go.
All right. In an arrival. So Moraine, it's 3 months later. Moraine's left the Tarvon three months later.
This is such a good chapter.
Yeah.
Just reading the description, I was like, well, I know who that is. I know who that is.
Yeah. So she's at Jiren Najima's house. Speaking to her and her two daughters, just including the baby who was outside, who was born just outside Tarvalon. So she's still going through the list of people it might be. So she's meeting with these people thinking like, is this the baby? But they were recently killed in a fire.
Yeah, I was about to say, this particular story was sad because the baby she was after is dead.
Yeah.
Dead. All the boys in the family are dead. And you know what my first thought was? This shit was done on purpose.
Somebody else is tracking these kids.
Correct. And killing each and every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That was my very first thought. 100% was, this is not a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
They're all dying.
But Moraine is relieved because the boy's born in the wrong place, like 20 miles away. So she knows she's not the dragon born.
Yeah, she's ready to move on the moment she got there.
Yeah.
For a little while, but. You know,
she's mission focused.
So, where do you think Moraine is right now?
Down yonder.
Okay. Like, what part of the world?
Not too far from the Blight.
Yeah, she's in the Borderlands. Okay. Well, she makes her way back to the Gates of Heaven.
Wait, maybe in the next chapter, she goes to see the Green Man for the first time. Because remember, last time wasn't the first time for her. Maybe her and Lan stumble there together. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Or maybe Cat Swain hangs out with the Green Man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. She makes her way back to the inn. There are five sisters who are staying at the inn, but she recognizes none of them recognize her until three new sisters arrive. I think
she's a wilder.
Yep, until three new sisters arrive. The first two are Laurel Tarsi and Moraine Redhill. And the third is
Cat
Swain.
She's shit. She's like, darn, you know what? I never thought in a million years, being this far out, that I would meet people that actually know me. And here are three. And she's literally just having a conversation with people about how, you know, she never wants to become an Aes Sedai. And then in walks three Aes Sedai that know that she already is Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Sad day.
And she immediately looks at Moraine. She's like, bring her to me. I need to speak to her.
I love how they describe Cat Swain. They're like, she doesn't believe in tradition. She just wants stuff done.
Yeah.
Get it done and get out of my way. That is Cat Swain.
Yeah.
But really the only person, so she brings up in a little bit everybody's power and who's powerful and how it's changing and blah, blah, blah. And that's to serve a different purpose in the conversation. But when you think about it, she could get away with being the way she is, not because of her age, really, but because of how powerful she is. And because that is kind of an underlying, I mean, unless directed by the Amyrlin, she can kind of flex her muscles
against
anybody. Yeah.
And she does.
So all that other bullshit is bullshit to her.
Yeah. I mean, most people thought that she was dead until she showed back up for the IOR war, like at the very end of the IOR. She showed back up and she'd been gone for so long because she does what she wants. She just left. Right. She was like,
at some point, she probably determined she was like, she looks at her power, looks at everybody else, looks at her power, looks at the White Tower. I was like, I don't need to do any of this anymore. I do what I want. What makes me happy?
Yep. So once in a private dining room, Cat Swain remarks that she's surprised to see Moraine here, and asks what she's doing. And Moraine just gives like some vague remarks, like, "Well, I heard that border men make great orders, so get up here to look for a order."
And she gonna find one.
Yeah, eventually. And she slips that she's on her way to Chachin,
which she didn't mean to.
Yeah, she didn't mean to. Yeah.
And the other two are just so happening going in the same direction.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, we're going too. Awesome. Maybe we'll just bring Moraine along with us."
Like, well, it's more like Catswain's, like, "You will be taking her."
Yeah, that was more Catswain's idea. They didn't want to bring Moraine, and Moraine definitely didn't want to go with them. Well, more than that, she didn't want to be delayed, was the problem.
Right. Yeah. And Moraine actually kind of snaps back. She's like, "I agreed to nothing. I have affairs of Chachin that can't wait."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but this is interesting.
When she listened to Catswain.
Well, after the one-on-one, I won't say she tucked tail, but when everybody else left the room and Catswain was talking to her one-on-one and was like, "You think just because, you know, you've been raised to a sister that now you're a part of something, but what you don't realize is your actual training just started." Mm-hmm. Like, "You know nothing, Jon Snow."
Yeah.
She's like, "You know, little do you know it, but I am looking out for you. Like, XYZ could have happened. There's plenty, you know, while you're waiting to find your warder, and you're pretending to not be an Aes Sedai, so it doesn't show that you're an Aes Sedai. You don't have that look yet. Mm-hmm. You're not wearing your ring, whatever. You people look at you and just see opportunity, target of opportunity. You're going to get yourself killed."
Yeah.
So Catswain always has something going on behind the scenes. I don't know what that is, but she's at least selling it that it's tough love and I'm looking out for you.
Telling.
Yeah. And I'm so far I'm buying it because
I like
Catswain.
Yeah. And she even like somewhat threatens Moraine, like straight up, like, "You better sleep in your bed tonight. I'm going to go check. If you're not there, you're going to be or sorry.
I'll spank you. There'll be spankings. Lots of spankings."
I heard.
"You must tie her down on a bed and spank her.
It's a spank! It's a spank!
You must spank her well, and after you have spanked her, you may deal."
Don't get out of line, Moraine.
Gosh, with spankings. And after Catswain leaves, you know, Moraine wonders if Catswain is one of Tamra's searchers, because they're still wondering about Tamra and all the, you know, who she sent out.
Right.
So. All that good stuff. That's how we end this chapter.
It's a mystery. It's a
mystery.
Yeah, all even without the foretelling, you know, I think there's enough going on as they learn about the different Ajahs and the secrets within the Ajahs. There's enough for her to, like, not fully trust all the sisters, you know, as she feels this out. But the situation they're in makes it so much more impossible to... it's such a huge risk bringing anybody else into the know.
Rule number
one. And it's a huge secret.
Trust no one.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite videos.
Including yourself.
I think I've talked about it before. It's like a video of like a dad and a son, and he's doing like a trust fall. He's like, "Son, come on, fall back on me." And he falls, and like the dad just turns around and goes, "Rule number one, trust no one."
Yeah. Including you, especially me. Except for now, what I'm telling you is good advice.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's in this chapter. Thoughts? Yeah. Anything we missed? No. Okay.
No, it's new chapter, but no.
I still love Catswain. Can't help but think that there's something nefarious going on.
Not with Catswain.
Or maybe she's aware. Like, maybe she's aware of the Black Aja issue, and that's why she got out before, and she's not pulling the fire alarm on it because she hasn't quite figured out the whole scenario yet. So that's the only way I could see her still on the good side, but I don't know. She's working way outside the boundaries.
Yeah.
And she has been for a while. So it's a little suspicious.
Yeah. We got a question coming in chat. I have a question for the guys. I've confirmed they are up to it in the main book, so it's safe. Well, ask away.
It's a big question. What's still typing. Question?
Yeah, that's all right.
What is your favorite color?
Okay. The group in the tower that Elida set to try to link her keeper to the Black Aja, the Red, who whole family got killed. Could the family that was killed have been hers?
This is worded like a riddle. Right, I think you tried to type it too fast.
Let's see.
Hers as in whose? Who's her?
The group in the tower that Elida set to try to link her keeper to the Black Aja. So there's that group of Aes Sedai that's in the basement meeting, right? So we're talking about the Red, whose whole family got killed. Yeah, that's Pavara. Could the family that was killed been hers?
Oh, with the that died in the fire?
Yeah, that died in the fire.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even attempt to put the timelines together.
Pavara.
Yeah.
Did the person have a last name? Because Pavara does have a last name.
I guess you can infer a little bit if the timelines match up, and I guess maybe they do.
Google's him like your mama. What's her name, your mama?
It's a good theory, but I don't think so.
I'm not smart enough to line up the timelines. That'd be my first.
Yeah.
But worth looking into.
Yeah, I don't know about the timelines. Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah.
On to the next one.
That'd be one of those little nuggets where, like, okay, not crucial to the storyline, but that's where Jordan will connect a dot if you're paying attention enough. Possibly.
Yeah, he does it a lot where so maybe.
Partially.
Anyway, A Narrow Passage, chapter 18. So back in the common room inn, Moraine was wishing that Sirwan was there.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. Looking out
little
the door.
Little did she know.
Yeah. Looking out the door of the street, she catches the sight of a woman who looks like Swan.
That's funny.
It looks like Swan. Then she realizes.
Wait a minute.
It is Swan.
Hey. You old silly bag there. Come on.
Yeah. So this one's followed her away from the tower. So now there's two. Well, they're not really runaways because they're Aes Sedai now, but still. Yeah. Okay. Zul with the timeline knowledge. That was in 860, and this happens in 879. So it's 100 years.
Yeah. It's a little different.
A little different timeline. But it'd be cool if it was, but no.
Unless we are time traveling, which I hold is still possible.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, Swan. We got Swan back.
Yeah, I mean, I knew this was bad right off the bat. It wasn't going to be.
Swan could track her down was bad enough.
Yeah. And it wasn't, I wasn't thinking, oh, this is a great love story where she comes and she's like, I just couldn't be without you. No, this isn't good.
Did you catch the city that they're in? Because they did mention it here.
Callum.
Which is, where's land?
The land town.
That's where land is right now?
Yeah.
Assuming that the timelines are the same.
Right. Okay. Right. Like I said, the collision is coming.
The collisions are coming together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a spoiler that eventually Moraine meets land.
Right. We know it's
going to happen.
I'm just hoping it's not like the last chapter. I mean, I want some time.
No, there's too much other things to fill the gap in on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, so this interaction here, she chases her girl down. They exchange some loves and pledges, pleasantry. Like, my first question would have been is, how were you able to track me down?
They're pillow friends. They're
I know. And they even exchange messages, but at the same time, she shouldn't have been able to track her down.
No, well, she knew who Moraine was going to check on, or probably could at least narrow it down to some. Because Robert,
yeah, they're both looking at names and stuff like that. They're close enough together.
Yeah,
that, yeah. In cahoots. Yeah.
Swan's probably the only one that could have gotten that lucky that quick.
Yeah.
Or anybody else that's holding the list that's also searching.
Swan also has a copy of the emblem using some of the originals, so she's got that touch to the person that gave it to Moraine.
Yeah. And Swan immediately is like, you know, I thought I'd never find you. You know, tell me you found him. And Moraine's like, nope, dead ends everywhere. Didn't find anybody.
Yeah. Moraine's being kind of casually cool with it, but Swan keeps like every response is like, no, you don't get it. This is really bad.
Yeah, things are really bad.
Like, oh, right, you know, not that big a deal. And she's like, no, you're not listening to me. There's a reason I came and didn't send this with a pigeon. Like, this needed to be, I don't know who to trust.
Bad going on right now. And she's like,
people are dropping. What people? Yeah, everybody that's doing what you're doing. Dead.
Yeah. And she said, what do you mean? It's like, you know, the searchers that Tom renamed? Yeah. They're all dead.
Dunsky.
All of them. That's including Tom herself.
Accidentally.
And they all died in weird ways, and there's no marks on their body, and it has to be the One Power. And Marine's like, well, that can't happen. Like, you know, like, and she starts like going through the whole entire 3-0s and that kind of stuff. And then eventually they're like, then it has to be, I can't say it.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Black Aja, which doesn't exist. So it doesn't really matter. But,
right. Nobody believes in it. I think that, well, the kicker was the one person that Swan wanted to be able to talk to. So she hid under her bed, was there all night, mm-hmm. got up in the morning. She never came to her bed. Mm-hmm. And then turns out that person died. And the reason somebody gave was, well, she died in her sleep in her own bed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Swan knows that's not true. So that was something very right. direct told that was clearly a lie.
Right.
Yeah. So that added to getting them to the dun dun dun.
Yeah.
Black Aja.
Yep. No poison, no marks on her body. Died in her sleep. But as Swan says, I was under the bed all night long. She never came in. That's a lie.
No, she said she never came.
Came to bed, not under the bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's not my joke.
I see what you did there. I got it.
I know for a fact. I was so close, I'd have felt it.
She did not have the red rod, Taran Girl.
Right. None of that.
She's missing that. She left that in the storeroom. They come to conclusion that it must have been the Black Aja. But then they start thinking more like, well, then the Armaland, did she also get? Because she died in her sleep too, like unexpectedly. And they're like,
mm-hmm.
oh shit, this when is not good.
But they're kind of hoping that their part in it is not known.
Yeah.
Because they weren't officially tasked. And even the Armaland before didn't officially task them. It was just obvious she knew they were tracking this. And just let them do their own thing.
Yeah. And Moraine, you know, tells Swan about her encounter with Cat Swain. And Swan's immediately like, yeah, Cat Swain, Black Aja. 100%. Has to be.
Yeah. we need to get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. She could be one of the ones that, and you know, but also she could be one of the Tom researchers. So it could be both ways. You know, she could be people hunting down Tom researchers, or she could be one of them.
Either she could be a good ally, or she's going to kill us. And we have no way of knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that information? Logistics master. Master.
You have to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Affect what you can affect. Bingo. So Moraine, you know, maybe she's a little in shock, hasn't processed all this, but she sticks to the mission. She's like, okay, I can't leave yet or else I'll get my ass whooped. She didn't say that part, but she can't leave yet. But nobody knows that Swan's there. So she gives Swan half her gold and everything. And is like, look, you need to go on to the next person. I'll catch up to you. Like, we got to stay on task, stay on mission, right? It doesn't change anything. In the grand scheme of things, if you stay focused that, all right, this kid could, you know, is foretold to be the Dragon Reborn, like that still trumps everything. That trumps trying to figure out who the Black Aja are. That trumps being worried that somebody might be hunting you down. You have to keep on keeping on.
Right.
So... good on Moraine. Maybe it was, like I said, could have just been she was in shock and that's all she knew what to do. But I think it was the right answer.
Right. So we have the searchers dying, and then we have random kids that were of the right age also being offed at the same time.
Coincidence. Total coincidence.
Total coincidence. Yeah.
There isn't even a story here. I'm surprised Robert Jordan wrote this book. Much ado about
nothing. He had a lot of help.
But so after this they come up with a plan. Swan will ride to Chachin. Moraine will wait until Cat Swain has checked on her, and then she'll try to catch up, which is probably a good idea, right? Nothing's wrong with this plan, right?
You leave
except that
to die on their own with no support. Sure, keep it up.
Except that in the immediate future, outside of Cat Swain and the other few Aes Sedai there, everybody else thinks Moraine is Alice and a Wilder who has now been scooped up as about to become a novice. So she gets treated like shit for the rest of her time there.
Right.
Which is kind of hilarious.
Right. So Moraine returns back to the inn. Later that night, Cat Swain does come in checking her, but as soon as she leaves, Moraine's like sleep with one eye open, like, all right, she's gone. Time to bounce. Grabs her saddlebags. Oh, no, she leaves her saddlebags behind. Mm-hmm. She, yeah, doesn't want
she takes the bare minimum of what she needs.
Yeah, takes bare minimums and leaves.
Skedaddles.
So, skedaddles. That's where you end this chapter.
Yay.
Any final thoughts?
The summary of that chapter also is that Lan is the man.
All three chapters.
Can be summarized with Lan is the man.
Okay. Fair enough. So I'm guessing if we do favorite character, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, Catswain.
Alan, are you even listening to us when we talk? Jeez.
No, I'm not.
It's our life.
You know that. I don't listen.
Wait, what's your name again?
What are we doing?
1, 2, 3, Lan.
Okay. Lan, and I would even give a tied first, yeah, with the person who brought him, helped train him, raise him.
Yes, we both said Catswain. We love Catswain. Catswain is our number one. She's our numero uno for the rest of the series.
Catty cat.
So far, she's been nothing but a badass. I still worry that she's such a badass, there might be something wrong there, really.
After reading this, I know there's nothing wrong with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
I put a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich on it. Spicy.
Yeah.
Add bacon and cheese.
One of those characters that like a lot of the fandom doesn't like. So it's interesting that both
forget the rest of the fandom. They're not us. They don't get to read it 2 chapters a week for 5, 6, 7.
Right.
It must be
that they rush through the ridiculous shit. Like yeah. She's been around for a while.
I think it's also who you pick as your favorite. Like if you pick Rand as your favorite and you follow the protagonist and you're like, and then the way she treats Rand, I can see how people don't like her.
But I appreciate the way she handles Rand. And I like Rand.
Yeah.
See, she has a very different point of view than a lot of people. She's been around for a long time. She's one of the oldest, right? And one of the most powerful. So her perspective has always been different. So she's been able to. That's true. Yeah. You don't come out of Newport News, you know, with soft hands raising you all the time. It's
not about bad news. Yeah. And if it is, it's rough these days.
I'll let you finish your thought.
To my point, she's been in a position for quite some time to be able to think critically and criticize and openly criticize that which is fucked up around her, to include the White Tower, the politics within the tower and everything. Not many people. There's not many Aes Sedai. I can't even think of any Aes Sedai that can openly do that. Because who does she fear? Who's going to hold her accountable?
Yeah.
Who's going to stop her? It would take a lot of sisters all at once trying to stop her. So
sure.
Yeah. So she has that ability to be critical, looks at it and is like, well, this shit is so fucked up. I'm not going to be a part of that.
She says what she thinks.
That's what's refreshing. We don't get that a lot. So, like, we get it so few times that we celebrate when any one of our characters is very direct in how they communicate.
And Zul, I see that. I understand it. Like, you read the books when you were younger and you had a little crush on Rand. I mean, you loved Rand. It's not even a little crush. It's a big crush.
Mm-hmm.
Rand, to me right now, is kind of like, meh. Like, I like Rand, but he's not what I wanted him to be. He's not what I expected him to be. Now, that could change. And I think Catswain is the person to get him there.
Okay.
If she doesn't, he's going to be influenced by someone or multiple groups of people. It's going to happen.
And now we're seeing the cycle here, because you have Moraine, who's been influenced by Catswain already.
Mm-hmm.
Just Catswain, the legend. And then Catswain is now like putting me in my place. And I'm shaking in my boots, and she doesn't believe in anything at all that's customary. And then it's like, but I'm gonna.
Customs are a waste of time for her.
Exactly. She's like, I'm short on life. So we're going to make
through this bullshit. Yep.
Love it. Absolutely. And then we have the interaction between Rand and Catswain.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to get a Moraine Rand and Catswain at some point.
When Moraine comes back. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Or what if it's like Star Wars and like at the end, Moraine's just like kind of there as part of the Force guiding Rand?
Nah, that don't work for me.
That'd be lame. Don't do that, Jordan.
It would be.
Yeah.
Bring her back for real, for real.
Bring her back? Okay. Moraine who?
Until next time.
Until next time. Well, next time we will be doing 4 chapters. We're doing 4.
Oh.
Four chapters.
Bring it. So
we have guests. Who's our guest?
Do you want to know?
Is it Zool?
I mean, it could be a surprise.
Zool would be good, but I already asked someone else. Sorry, Zool. We need Zool back on. Now, it's not like that big a surprise. I mean, it's just some people are gonna be really happy about it. Some people, I don't know, maybe I'm happy about it. It's the Black Tower podcast.
Oh yay.
Ooh.
It's been a minute since we touched base with that.
It's been a while.
Good timing. It's good timing.
Yeah.
So good old reconnect.
Black Tower podcast on.
Now that we have context behind the Black Tower.
Right.
No, yeah.
It all makes sense now.
Yeah. All of my hands.
We thought the Black Tower was something completely different.
Yeah. There you go. Black Tower podcast. Yeah. So Andrew and Josh.
Nice.
Okay. Not coming on. So yeah.
Very exciting.
Should be fun. Looking forward to
it. By the way, Chanel wanted me to let you all know we now have a home that is no longer safe because our cat can open every door in the house.
Oh, nice.
It's his favorite thing to do now.
Wait till you have kids that can do that.
Put shoes on your cat.
Smart, man. I'm going to put mittens on him.
Yeah. Little mittens on the cat. One, it'll be cute. Your cat will be so pissed and won't be able to do anything.
Was it It's Always Sunny that did that?
Yeah. Mittens. Kitten mittens. That's right. The kitten mittens.
when I have kids that can do that, I'm removing the doorknobs.
Moving the doorknobs. Okay.
With Ronan, we went through every single contraption you could put on a doorknob that's supposed to be kid safe but still easy for an adult to open, and he'd find a way to get around them or use them. Well, finally, there was the one that, like, you close the cap over it, and you have to put enough pressure on it at a certain point where it squeezes together and you can turn it. Yeah. Well, he learned he had to spin it so the line where it comes together is straight up and down, and then all he has to do is bang it, and it would explode off, and then he could open the door.
Yep. Genius child.
We just gave up after that. We're like, we left him on there because we would know when he was going through a door.
Yeah.
Because no matter where you're sitting, you hear bang, jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. And then the door opens. I'm like, all right, let's get Ronan.
Yeah. All right. The problem is I live in an old house, so none of the doors light up right. They don't even latch half the time. Like,
it's with your floors, you could hear where your kids are. There's no sneaking in a house.
There's no sneaking in my house. You can hear everything.
When you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, my kids aren't getting up in the middle of the night.
They're loud. My kids are not sneaky. They are.
Why do toddlers have the heaviest feet in the world?
I don't know.
I am like broken and nearly 200 pounds, and I can sneak through a house quietly.
Yeah.
My kids, when they were young, bam, boom, bam, boom, bam.
Yeah. I mean, my daughter's room is directly above me right now. And if she gets up, I mean, she stomps when she like sneakily stomps, like come in. And she's like, how'd you know I was awake? The whole neighborhood knows you're awake.
Right. Everybody does.
Everybody knows you're awake. Fun times. Four chapters, chapter 19, 20, 21, and 22. And those titles are Pond Water.
A lot of movement there.
And I said, what about breakfast in Milana?
Like the cookies?
Manala. Yeah. Breakfast in Manala. Mm-hmm. Some tricks of the power and keeping custom.
Is that like Aes Sedai hookers?
And guys, we are two tricks episodes away from finishing this book, by the way, too.
Even if it's a bad joke, you have to like recognize that I
acknowledge it. We'll
move on with the conversation.
I saw her say something about hookers.
You said tricks of the power, and I was like, is that a bunch of Aes Sedai hookers? See, there you go. You should listen every now and then. I come up with good stuff.
Some tricks of the power.
It wasn't worth it.
It made me laugh, and that was the goal.
That's all that matters.
Gentle giant, Jason. You're right. Use hooks that are high enough that they can't reach them. Yeah, I have to try it with the cat. Mm-hmm. It's a shame you have to do
that. They'll get something and poke those hooks off.
Yeah.
For the cat, that would work.
Like I said, with the kids, I'm literally just going to remove the doorknobs and have the lock mechanism in place. That way you have to like jimmy it.
And at least I'm teaching them a new skill that may or may not be useful in the future.
Learn how to lockpick.
Deadbolt everything and have a lockpick kit right next to it. And if they get through, just have a $5 bill on the other side.
Like, most places you buy those, you have to register them.
Oh, no.
No idea. I didn't realize you had to register lockpick kits. Like, I was going to get like a really nice set because I thought it was going to be a fun hobby to like learn how to like pick. And I went online to look it up, and you have to like register with like some government organization that you have this lockpick kit. I was like, nah.
I think it was the route that you went to purchase them.
It probably was
the paperwork.
I went to a really legitimate source. There's other ways of getting that. Sure.
I was about to say, I'm sure we got a friend on one block or another that has a couple of kits that you.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not deadbolts, but like regular doors. I can use a credit card and get it up everywhere.
Oh yeah, easily, or a butter knife. That's
what we use. Like 10 years ago, I could have said that a majority of the standard handcuffs that law enforcement use, either with no tool or with a very simple tool, I can get out of. But there was one that they started switching to that's
the hand jumps.
It's very impossible. Unless you break your hand, and now everybody pretty much uses those. So
yeah, they used to have the little small change; you could still break those really easily.
Yeah.
But
not to kink shame, but
they finally got funded. Oh, like I wasn't allowed a safe word; I had to learn how to get out of those things. Yeah. Man, it's
exactly,
and not even for something kinky. Eventually, you got to poop. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Eventually, you got to get up.
Yeah. I remember my uncle as a kid was a police officer, and he would handcuff us in the back of his police car and throw the key on the floorboard. And my brother would have a competition on who can, like, with their cuffs behind our back, try to get the key and who can do it fastest and, like, get the cuffs off. It was a fun game to play that cops, like, my cop uncle let me play. Really weird now looking back.
I can see that, and that looks a little strange.
Okay. Looking back at it now, do you ever look at moments like that and you're like, oh, they were probably getting sick of us, so they just gave us something that would occupy us for like a half hour 100%. So they could sit down and just 100%. Be like, God, they're fucking annoying. I love them, but they're fucking annoying me today.
Yeah, 100%. That's why they did it.
They just wanted 30 minutes.
Well, they just wanted a quiet ride, like to wherever we were going. And they're we're going to take the cruiser, throw them in the back, give them some handcuffs, and we got a nice, quiet 30-minute ride to wherever we're going.
Put a stock in your mouth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Also, just so you guys know, he wasn't a bad cop. Back then, we didn't wear seatbelts.
Yeah.
Especially in the back seat. Never.
I don't think there was seatbelts in the back seat.
Well, our Bronco, on one side, they worked. On the other side, well, I don't even know that they were there. I think they were tucked under the seat from when we folded it down.
Yeah, we had a few cars where we had none. Mm-hmm. We had the station wagon where we had that big open space that we sat in and rode in.
Yeah.
And then we had a pickup truck where we rode in the back of the freaking pickup truck.
All the time.
60 miles an hour.
All the time.
Over
if anybody
heard the freaking bridge even. Like,
yeah. I'd go across the JRB in the backup of my parents' pickup truck all the time.
Nah, that little way.
I'd ask to. Yeah. Like, we're going over the bridge. Got to get in the back. And I'd be like, yeah, sure.
But that uncle was cool, the cop uncle, because he lived in DC area and he did security on the Capitals, Washington Capitals, on the weekends. So he had access to the locker rooms. So he would take us before the games and we'd go to the locker rooms as kids and get sticks and pucks and all sorts of cool stuff. So he was an awesome uncle. He passed away. Cool. But
sorry
to hear that.
That was a while ago, but thank you. Anyways,
nobody can tell you how long you're allowed to grieve, Alan.
Okay, it still hurts. Next week we're doing four chapters, and we'll be on Monday. So, Monday.
I commit to Monday.
Yeah, I grew up picking, riding the back of pickups. Oh, yeah, we did it all the time growing up.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I grew up rollerblading in the back of Ian's car, like hanging on the bumper.
Very high speeds.
Very high speeds. I remember my mom found out I was doing that, and she got so pissed.
Oh,
about as fast as a 1986 Ford Tempo would go, which really wasn't that fast, but fast for rollerblades.
Yeah.
My mom, it was a Ford. She's like, oh, okay, never mind.
Oh, no big deal.
We had to have a spotter that would yell back to the rollerblader where the manhole covers were, so you didn't run over those. Like,
yeah, if you hit one of those, you were in trouble.
Oh, yeah. The dad.
Do you remember how we would stop?
Well, I remember I would get in the car. I did that a few times.
Oh, you were better. I would stop by swerving off and jumping into a bush.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what my dog would pull us.
Like, yeah.
I'd do that. She would mostly stop at intersections.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I used to do the whole thing where I'd open the backseat of your car. Like, I'd pull myself through the windows and then open the door while it's moving and step into the backseat of your car.
Yeah.
We got that on video, and my mom found the videotape, and I was like grounded for like ever. So it was fun. Yeah.
They thought I was the bad influence. That's the funny part. They probably still think that.
Meanwhile, it's all my idea.
It was a tag team. You'd have the idea that normally any other friend of yours would go, no. And I'd go, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yes. Full send.
How we're still alive, I do not know.
Yeah.
No.
So yeah, that's what we're doing next week. So that's all I got for this week. So how it can be found is at thewheelofreads.com. You find cool links to all sorts of fun stuff like our Patreon. Come join us, support us. Oh, wait, do we have a new Patreon this week? I think we did. I did not. I'm a horrible person. I am
this
so sorry.
This episode is for?
This episode is for. Hold on. Where is it? Podcast. Patreons. I think we did have a new Patreon.
Our new patron.
That's last record. I think we don't. Never mind. We don't. We are going to shit. We are going to shut up for Chris, right?
This episode's for us.
For us. Yeah, no. We did it. It was, yeah. We did not have a new Patreon since last time. We had one before.
Is for all of the patrons. Thank you.
This is for all of you guys. You guys all rock.
Appreciate you guys.
But yeah, if you want to become a new patron, get a shout out and plus more, go join. It's exciting. And yeah, links to cool things like our merchandise. You can get these cool t-shirts. Awesome are these cool frosty mugs.
Nice.
Look at me buying merch stuff.
It's the nice tan.
Yeah. All sorts of cool stuff. So yeah, stickers.
Beard growing tips.
You get cool stickers. You know, I have all the fun stuff. So go check it out. All that cool stuff. And that's all I got for this week. So
hey, wait, pond water. Wasn't part of the story that like Lan pushed her in the water or vice versa, something like that, when they met? Wasn't somebody pushed
in the
water?
That's all we have for this week.
Until next time.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for watching The Wheel Reads.
Until next time.
Okay, bye.
Get your Coast Guard certified life-saving device ready and strapped on.
Sure.
Where are we going tonight?
What kind of strap on you talking about?
Sure.